for the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017 is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
one.
And welcome back to Richmond Title. My name is Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we've always threatened to do an entire show just talking about Ruckman, but we've had to perhaps compromise, and I think at the very least we should do the club's Ruckman the service of leaving the show with them this week, because Ivan Soldo's goal on Saturday night was one of my genuinely favourite moments for a long time.
The Soldinho goal was, it was special. I mean, you know, as much as I can get excited about any Ruckman's game when the net hit out is minus 23 in the other team's favour, that was get out of my seat special when that happened.
Yep. I mean, it has been quite the journey from, you know, state basketball, notably with no soccer background whatsoever, other than, you know, mucking around in the park with friends type level, but that, you know, 6'8" human being saw the ball in flight and thought, right, I will soccer this with my wrong foot through the goals that are 20 metres away. That's pretty impressive.
And clearly meant to do it. Yeah, I think that, and that, I think that is actually part of his not quite knowing his limitations yet as an AFL player, because he hasn't never played that many games of football full stop.
Mm.
But it was a beautiful moment. You know, like I've said before, I think there's a case to be made that Soldo was good against really elite ruckman, because he it's not really his fault when our backmen or midfielders seem to deliberately pick Max Gorn out to kick to him. But
no, there was a fair bit of that.
Yeah, but at least he made a nuisance of himself in the centre square.
He did. 5 clearances. Like, it was a very workmanlike effort. I have long thought that I better bolter or goal better for team balance, and, you know, I think that I continue to think that in theory, but if you ask me to pick a best 22 for this weekend, you know, maybe Cruz is not the ideal matchup, but yeah, I would pick Ibi and Nick.
Yeah, like, we're sort of cut to the lead here, whereas, you know, this is sort of one of the key things to worry about, and you know, on paper, probably Chole is more complimentary to Nank, but in the real world, is you just what Soldo does and what Chole does is you can't reward what Chole does ahead of what Soldo does when you bring Nank back in.
No. No, look, and the conditions suited Ivy better. Like, it's fair to say that Chole's more of a finesse player, and I'm deeply appreciative of the fact that he can't seem to miss when he kicks for goal, but he hardly got the ball at all, and just Ivy's work rate was better, and yeah, I think it's a funny type of positive from the game, in which, you know, we first half was even, the second half, you know, and it was even partly because of our wastefulness, but, you know, we controlled the game without playing particularly well, and with having a number of players slightly off their game. So, you know, I think the experimentation and the search for our best 22 combination you know, just needs to continue, and we'll, you know, people just have to earn their spot.
Yes, they do, and I agree, and it's become a very competitive 22 in many positions, including Ruck now at Next Bank, and a finesse Ruck is a very interesting beast. Sure one that I completely subscribe to, but three possessions isn't cracking him. Where Soldo had 13 possessions, which is actually pretty respectable for a guy who's basically in the team to make a nuisance of himself at centre square bounces. But you know, across the team, there is really interesting things going on. Caddy suddenly has become a slightly marginal figure. You know, who was, you know, one of our most crucial players. Not that I'm not bagging his game, but you know, it was just going. But Nick,
it was just going. Yeah, it was a very nice. It was a very nicely taken goal, but yeah, it was fine.
So overall, I'm becoming the smug Hawthorn supporter that, you know, we won by 5 goals, and I was sort of vaguely dissatisfied with the game, which really annoys me. I hate that sort of feeling that I should be better. You know, we should all know better than this, because we know there will come a time when this team will crash, and we will look back on these as the golden days. And if your worst problem is that your percentage isn't good enough, that you're at the risk of not hanging on to 4th spot, you have no problems.
No, it's six final series in 7 years, which is
I'm not sure.
Longest.
Go.
No, it's our longest period of making finals of that period of time, I think, since the Great Depression.
The first three of those were spectacularly bad final series for various reasons. Like, it was, I think you'd struggle to find three consecutive final series of any teams ever played that were as bad as those were cumulatively.
Yes, but the point of there's been a lot of winning in that time.
We have not been smug and arrogant until 2018.
No, that's true. That's quite true. And even in parts of this season, we didn't quite write the season off. But yeah, wasn't far off it. But yeah, no, I think there are a number of competitive positions at the team. I think Liam Baker's. I've liked how Liam Baker's fit into the team, but he's not dominating by any means. Similarly, you know, Josh Caddy was fine. Other players, Jack Graham's really improved, but you know, with Jack Ross coming back to the VFL, he can't be complacent at all. It's the Hunger Games for positions in the team. Camden McIntosh has been out of the team far longer than we ever expected.
That's true. This is on a very limited sample size because he's played so little, but Jack Graham, I agree with what you said, but Jack Graham, premiership hero Jack Graham, that is, just had the best 4-game stretch of his career, according to the AFL ratings. Like, he's actually, by Jack Graham's standards, in pretty good form.
Well, by any standards, he's in the top 50 in the AFL ratings for the whole competition for the past month.
Yeah, 49th, but yeah, he's in there.
He's in there. Deion Prestia third.
Oh, well, that's the story. Like, Deion Prestia has just been, and he was the best player by far in the AFL rankings. Like, I know a man,
yeah,
people
which seemed funny
ahead of Dusty.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying.
Dusty just felt he was just like, in that third quarter, he was cruising around the half forward line like a clockwork battleship. Like, In a team, you know, Melbourne's got three top five draft, and Oliver Brayshaw and Petrarca, and he just had a degree of athletic arrogance that was beyond any of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, to quote the cliche that's been in many a mainstream media article, he seems to be getting better and better as he comes into finals, and you don't judge that by one game, you judge it by the average, how he's been over multiple weeks, and it seems like every week he sort of, the average of his last few games is better, if you know what I mean. He keeps sustaining a very high level of performance. I mean, Dusty, and you know, he kicked a goal outside 50, which was just so classic Dusty, but I can see why people might say Dusty's a BOG, and frankly I think the AFL ratings is not that meaningful one game, it's more of an average. And on an average of playing well, Dion Prestia is crushing it. I'm loving his game, and you know, Nick, I was getting very close to being out on him forever at sort of five games into the season, and just, he's been on a tear, and I'm just the biggest Dion Prestia fan right now.
Yeah, it's good. It's good times. And the perennial, when we don't have question of how the midfield stands up, yeah, the midfield stood up just fine. I thought, even with Shai Bolton playing more up forward, and I wanted to talk to you about Shai, because do you think the Monday morning team review session was a comfortable experience for Shai?
Well, it certainly wouldn't have been if you were the head coach, because, you know, let's face it, one goal four is anything. If anyone wants to get on your bad list, it's kick like that. But what do you think?
I think he should have handballed on two of them.
Two of them, yeah. And
I enjoyed the confidence, but I think the whole team ethos and finding a balance between your talent and working for the team, I just thought there was a moment where Rioli had a beautifully instinctive handball, and another moment where Shai Bolton had a short goal when if he'd handballed over the top to Mitch, he would have strolled into an open goal.
Yeah, there was another moment where he really badly burnt Butler, which I hated, because, like, it's...
He did, yeah.
And it was sort of like it little bit of me in the... And who knows what he was thinking at the moment. But Bolton saw him, and part of me wondered whether it was a status thing, that sort of the lower status... You know, Butler might
have... I don't think there was that much thinking. I think it was just a bit selfish.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Part of me thinks he wouldn't have done that to Rioli, who's a higher status player than Butler. But yeah, I mean, you're probably right. Who knows? But I did. Yeah. I must
look. Maybe,
as you know, because I personally,
maybe he wouldn't have.
As you know, because
maybe he wouldn't have done it to Dusty. But
yeah, that's fair. As you know, because I messaged you at the time, I was deeply unimpressed with that act. But you know, he also had five shots a goal. You know.
Yeah. Look, I am all on board on the Shai Bolton re-signing train. Like, he's a big talent, and we need to keep him at the club. But I think he just needs to,
Nick, do you suffer the same thing I do? That everyone who's managed by Ralph Carr, you just have 10% less tolerance for.
Oh, it certainly causes disproportionate anguish. That's for certain. And yeah. And look, good on him, the signing of 1 year contract and backing himself, and it's worked out. But yeah. Yeah, look, there's not the only encouraging part of it is that there doesn't seem to be a really strong suitor for him. Like, it just feels like a ploy for more money, and that he's happy at the club. So,
yeah,
those sort of situations normally work out, but it's annoying.
It is. Like, it's not like he's Tom Lynch. You know, there is not, you know, every team in the AFL is going to back up the money truck for 198-centimetre dominating key forward, which, again, he was brilliant again on the weekend.
I feel like we almost don't need to talk about him very much, because he was awesome.
Yeah,
and right. The best key forward on the ground by far.
Yeah, well, absolutely, no doubt. Just continues every Richmond supporter's man crush on him. Shedder was great, too.
Yeah, Shedder was really good. Lossie was great, particularly early on, I thought, when they were up and about. Dylan Grimes, as always. Yeah, that was... You know, the team's playing pretty well, if not perfectly.
Both Short and Broad were very good on the intercept possessions too.
Yeah, Short's coming into form. It's been a journey, and I don't think he's quite there. But yeah, he's certainly improving.
Look,
I didn't think Dan Butler submitted his spot.
Oh, Dan Butler. I mean, God no. Like, I mean, it's currently the fashionable thing on the internet to say he's played the last game for Richmond. I mean, you know, Nick, I like Big Butt's goals, and I'd be very sad if it was his last game. But you know, a lot of very good.
Well, and I just don't think you can say it's his last game. Like, I think Jack Higgins' injury just leaves the door open. I think it's just going to be a, you know, if he plays well, he can earn his spot back. But yeah, I think he might be in trouble this week.
And you know, it's not. I'm quoting this because I've seen it with my own eyes, not just because it's a meaningless stat. But if you look at his 2017 season, is the advanced metrics liked him of all the key small forwards the most, because he got involved in crucial moments in scoring chains. So yeah, and that hasn't been replicated the last 2 years, but it's I don't think I'm not ready to give up on him.
No, definitely not.
I mean, we should point out, Nick,
that else struck me?
We did have 33 more inside 50s. It was like a complete domination in many ways, so in many ways it was frustrating we didn't win by more. But yeah, I mean, Dusty was great. Presty continued to dominate. Lambert was all over the place. His disposal stats were slightly lower. Asprey was good. George got involved. It was.
I thought Jack was all right, except for his kicking for goals a bit out of sync at the moment. But I think the they're working together better. Like he was a bit more in the centre forward role again. Yeah, it's not bad. They still, like, Gorn was a problem kicking down the line. But I feel it's trending positively.
Yeah, I know. Like, there were moments where I was about ready to throw out the bathwater with Jack, and I was getting extremely frustrated in the game, and then he'd take a crucial mark and get a good shot at goal, which he didn't convert, but like it sort of was promising. So yeah, I don't know with Jack. I'm not overwhelmed with him right now, but he's doing just enough that gives you hope.
Yeah, and they're fitting together well. Like, they're not crashing into each other in marking contests. Like, I think they're kicking the ball to each other. So yeah, I think it's fine. And look, with the chance to get better.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have used the word well. I would have used a more medium. It's not working. It's just going at the moment. But yeah, they've got time to work it out and develop more. Look, you know, as you say, there's no obvious signs of the conflict. The problem is that, like, is Jack really adding that much more than another pressure forward would? Yeah, I don't know. There's plenty of time for Jack to kick a few, to become more damaging, and not just a decoy in the current situation. So I'm not panicking.
Well, and when you think that the leading pressure forward in the VFL on the weekend was Jake Arndt, so...
Are you just saying that to wind me up?
Anything else from the seniors?
No, not really. Yeah, I think the main thing was, like, on one point, I was very nervous about the game, and I was very glad that it turned out okay, but on another point, when it was all said and dusted, it was a bit unsatisfying to only be able to convert 33 plus inside 50s into a 5-goal win, but I think that's been smug and arrogant.
There's room for improvement. We've won 6 games in a row. I think nobody scored more than 10 goals in that time. Like, we're going to play.
So, the VFL.
Yeah, so you want to talk to us? We don't feel. Oh, no, I was just going to say, before we go to the VFL, there's a fair bit of off-field news this week. What should we do first? I think probably expected announcement of Alex Rance not returning this season.
Yeah, we covered this a couple of weeks ago that, you know, it seemed like the logical outcome. And, you know, it was good they put it away. There'd been enough rumours around that they'd let it run. It seemed unlikely, but I guess it's nice to have it put it away because, you know, we would have loved to have had it happen, so it's better to sort of at least know where you stand now.
Yeah, look, it's impossible not to love Rance if he's running out onto the field. But we've also seen it's hugely risky coming back from a knee reconstruction that quickly, and if waiting till next year, he's literally got a full 12 months for the recovery. Hopefully gives himself every chance to come back properly. But yeah, and I also they let him work through the process. Happy to be that one.
Apparently, there's some debate about whether that's the best thing you can do for the
group. So the other tribute. Really?
Apparently there is some debate about whether that is the best thing you can actually do for rehab, is to go for such an aggressive recovery schedule, but frankly, I'm just registering this debate. I am no way qualified to make a judgment either way, and if you want a definitive judgment on things that about people that talk about what they don't really understand, go listen to Brian Taylor, but I'm just registering that there is that debate.
I've seen American studies that say having a full 12 months does help with preventing recurrence, but there's not a lot in it. I mean, once you get to a pretty advanced stage of rehab, it's up to the individual. So the other big news. The club announced Black Carousella was leaving the club a year early, and shortly afterwards announced he'd signed a deal with Essendon.
So a friend of the podcast, who I won't mention because he said it to us privately, but he's welcome to say it publicly because it was a great line, said that every day I wake up and when the news doesn't say that the Essendon training facility has been burnt to the ground, it's a disappointment. so it's true. You know, it really hurts that Blake's left. It really hurts that he's gone to Essendon, who have now stolen two of our decent our assistants and Dan Richardson. I don't like it. I don't like it also that he hasn't been promoted, so I wonder how they managed to get him because there's
more money.
We have a football club. We all have the same salary cap, so they're just giving him more money to do the same role. Well, why couldn't we do it? That's what I don't like.
Well, they had two vacant roles, so they were able to restructure a bit more. And frankly, they've got a pretty underwhelming existing setup with their assistant coaches. So I just think they had more flexibility to pay one guy a lot more money. Whereas I think, you know, we've talked about before that our development staff is in far better shape than it has been. Yeah, I think it'll be just fine if, for instance, Craig McRae stepped up into a senior role.
I hope you're right. I have strong pro Blake Carousel of views. Like I know, and you know, Justin Charles, bless him, was a very active Twitter person and didn't.
Crazy Twitter person.
Yes. No. Look, he's allowed to have his opinion. He's just strongly opinionated. But you know, he's a guy who sees a bit outside of their club, and like there are many people who sort of see Blake as third or fourth most important in the Richmond Premiership love run. I put him pretty high. I put him higher than third or fourth. You know, they can talk about all the mindfulness stuff and things like that, but Richmond has a brilliantly creative offensive attacking game. That is literally Blake's job. You know, this thing about Richmond having, you know, by far the most attacking hand passes of any team in the AFL, that's Blake. The idea that I think there's no doubt that Dim is a great person manager, but the game plan was abysmal in 2015, 2016. For whatever reason, it changed beautifully in 2017. Maybe that was a bit of personnel, maybe that was a bit of a leper, but it surely had a lot to do with this brilliant assistant from Geelong who came over. I don't know.
I'm not underrating Blake, but I just think it's a much stronger group these days, and I think that Craig McRae is a really well-regarded coach, and he kept the VFL team winning through a period when, you know, they had no more than half a dozen AFL-listed players against teams with three times as many as that. So, yeah, I reckon he can coach, and I'm quite a big fan of Xavier Clark as well. So, I just think we've got enough to work with to cover it. Not discounting that, Blake clearly made a big difference when he came in.
Yeah, and look, as we've said on this pod before, it's really hard to judge assistant coaches. You don't know from the outside. And you make really good points about the other assistants. They're clearly very talented. But I've always had this gut suspicion that Blake was the tactical genius that sort of stirred. He was the straw that stirred the drink. And I just hope that no one's drinking the Kool-Aid when we look at the next set of coaches, the next coaches, we look at who complements the existing guys and, you know, we don't just get another guy who can talk a lot about mindfulness and, you know, spout all the good people management cliches, because that's what Dim is good at. What we need is the guy who will go in a dark room and come up with a brilliant game plan. So you know, I just hope I love Blake, and I just hope we replace him with someone that's that can give us another brilliantly evolving game plan. And good luck to him, Essendon, because at the end of the day, we've got a premiership. So you know, you can't fault, like, basically Nick, like, he's the high paid NFL free agent who gives you a good 3 years, then he goes off somewhere else, and that's what he's done. So
yeah,
no ill will
and losing assistant coaches, no. And look, I also have faith that the same people who thought employing Blake Carousella was a good idea are going to be employing his replacement. So that also makes me feel better.
Yeah, as long as that's not Damien Hardwick, because our head coach is brilliant and he's a premiership coach, but he's not very good at picking his. He was not very good at picking his assistants before Neil Baum came in. So you know, yes, I think you're right. We have to have faith.
That's what I mean. Neil Baum is still there.
Yes,
and I have quite a lot of faith in him.
I think that's a good way to end it. I agree.
So speaking of the VFL, look, Casey had six Melbourne listed players, and what was normally, you know, they're normally a pretty competitive team, and yeah, we won pretty well despite having three players on managed minutes in Marwan Pickett, Nank, and Jack Ross. Fraser Turner also returning from injury, and we won pretty easily, and all of those guys played pretty well. Next three was, yeah, 29 spells. Yeah, looks very light to come back. Fraser Turner, after a long absence, 15 handball receives, which is a ridiculous number, and says, hey, he wasn't winning all his own ball all that much, but he's working super hard and getting in good spots. And Eddie Nash was good.
If only we'd merge Turner and RCD, we'd have the perfect footballer.
RCD, he's trending up, I think. I mean, still not quite as much ball as you'd like, but he's consistently leading the team in clearances. We are winning contested ball. But I think the story was Marwan Pickett. Do you get a chance to see his highlights?
Of course. I think every true Richmond supporter has already analysed them in depth. What did you think of the highlights?
There's always the question about how somebody looks. When they change competitions, he still looks a good size. He's a good,
yep.
You know, he's a nice, he's 6 foot plus. He's a smooth mover. It's a slightly funny kicking motion, but certainly seems an effective kicking motion. It wasn't overwhelming, but it was a nice debut because with injuries, he only played twos. He's only played two senior games all year, so he was entitled to be rusty.
Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more. Like, in many ways, it was very promising. He did, there's a couple of moments where he looked slightly laconic, like, and it's good to have time, but he was almost too relaxed. But, like I say, it's the first game back, and, you know, he's... Like, VFL is different to a waffle. But, yeah, it was an exciting start. And, Nick, I have to say, I was pretty excited about Jack Ross getting 12 possessions in half. I'm sort of buying into the fact that he could play senior football again this year.
Yeah, I mean, we are unambiguously Team Ross. loved his work earlier in the year. He's got to build up from here. I think another 2 weeks of the VFL, but I agree. I think he's a reasonable. Well, he's a chance. I think there's maybe best 22's going to be a stretch, but I think both him and Pickett are a chance to make a 25 man squad.
If Ross was fit right now, he'd be playing. But it's the coaching question.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And Noel Bolter, yeah, he was
lovely.
He was fine. So, yeah, lovely. He's contributing. He rotated through the ruck a bit, which is interesting. Yeah, he's fine. But yeah, really, speaking of rucks, Callum Coleman-Jones has put together a very solid month of football. Like, he has stepped up a level, and I don't think he's ready for senior football, but I think the chance is of him being ready for senior football in 12 to 18 months time are getting better.
Agreed, and look, I really like the solid body of work, as you pointed out, that it's not just one game, it's sort of, he's consistently looking a level above. But I presume we'll both agree that Nang's shown enough now that he's been the best to come into the ones next week?
Yeah.
Yep. Alright, agree.
He's got through 3/4 of the game for the... Yeah, right. Okay.
Now, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get to the scum?
So VFLW, one challenge of the VFLW competition is that was the one challenge. After the VFLW, we had Williamtown standalone club on the bottom of the ladder, kind of struggling, almost very difficult to take anything away from the game, I thought. Other than Monique Conti being back and being really good, because he is being very round into form, but that may well be the case of the full forwards always look better when they're getting the ball, kick to them all the time.
Yeah. Old school.
Old school. So Carlton have been playing better last month or so under David Teague, and we're still very comfortable 5-7. How do you say that?
Yeah, look, so I thought Brendan Bolton was a terrible coach. He triggered me slightly, because he reminded me, I don't think Damien Hardwick is a bad coach. I think he's a very good coach, but I think the worst aspects of Dimmer is what Brendan Bolton was all about, was the earnestly talking about defence without sort of calculating that you need to, even when you defend, you need to attack enough to threaten the opposition, which Bolton didn't get. And as soon as they unleashed the... As soon as he was sacked and they sort of let the pressure valve off and let people play offence and defence, then suddenly, amazingly, teams got threatened by Carlton's actual good players, which they have multiple of, and they went from a terrible team to respectably mediocre. And that's great. Good for them for shifting their game plan, but that's all they are, Nick. They're a respectable team. They're not great. They're not beating great teams.
No. Look, and the structure of a team that is going to be a complete pain in a couple of years is coming into view. Like, Cripps is always good, and we have a lot of trouble matching up on him.
Yes.
Sam Walsh has been extremely good, and exceptionally high work rate. Harry Mackay looks like a real key forward for the future. You know, the other picks like Lockie O'Brien's played some decent football. Michael Gibbons is a heartwarming VFL story, but yeah, there's still a number of players away from being a good team.
Yeah, they're still middling, and they're still a team with a caretaker coach going through a little bit of a bounce. So, like, I know this is overly simplistic, and I hate saying it, but like, at the end of the day, this game is simple. Is sort of it's a Well, you know, you can lose to things if you can lose to them if you go badly, but you can't, if you want to finish top four, you can't lose to this team, because they're mediocre.
They're good as a team with Patrick Cripps. You would expect they're good at contested footy, they're good at clearances, but yeah, they're ruck divisions. Nothing special. Their defence, Liam Jones will work hard, but yeah, it just feels like this is a game that we should win and win pretty comfortably.
Agreed.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Target Talk.
D. Martin, three votes.